With the Warriors here in Cleveland set for Game 3 of the NBA Finals on Wednesday night, I'm Lawrence Scott with this Warrior Sound update as the team had a practice at the Quicken Loans Arena accompanied by a media session where we heard from head coach Steve Kerr, Stephen Curry, and KD. Let's start with what Coach Kerr had to say.
Hi, everybody. Before I start, I want to send condolences to Dwight Clark's family. All of us with the Warriors are thinking about Dwight and his life and his impact in the Bay Area. I personally did not know him, did not meet him, but I'm friends with several of his 49er teammates, and I know how devastated they are. And such a sad day for all of us, and we're thinking about the family, and just wanted to pass that along before we get going.
First question, standing on the left.
Paul Antunes from ESPN Brazil. Up 2-0, I mean, it's a game of desperation for them. How easy is it for you up 2-0 to get a little complacent and, you know, and tough to match the energy of the team that's desperate?
Yeah. Well, we've been here before, and that's the biggest thing. We've been here the last 3 years for a game three. First year was 1-1. Last 2 years, we were up 2-0. All three games were really, really difficult. And so we're used to that. We're used to the dynamic of being ahead in a series and then having everything shift when you go on the road. But especially when you play Cleveland, LeBron, this crowd and their environment, we know the kind of force they're going to bring. And we have to be prepared for that. We know it. We'll see if we can do it.
Scott here.
Scott Osler, San Francisco Chronicle. Steve, your thoughts on the Eagles situation and on your team and your kind of being in the forefront of that, what's going on now?
It's not surprising. I think, the president has made it pretty clear he's going to try to divide us, all of us in this country, for political gain. It's just the way it is. I think, we all look forward to the day when we can go back to just having a celebration of athletic achievement and celebrate Americans for their achievement, their good deeds. The irony is that the Eagles have been nothing but fantastic citizens in their own community. They've done so much good. I've read a lot about their team, Malcolm Jenkins, Chris Long. These guys are studs. They're amazing. So it'll be nice when we can just get back to normal in 3 years.
Michael in the back center.
Michael Lee with Yahoo Sports. Straight ahead. Do you have an update on Andre, and how would you plan on using him if he is available?
He's doing better. He played yesterday some one-on-one, did some full court drills, and he told me he's feeling better. So I would upgrade him to questionable. He'll go through practice today, and we'll see how he feels after that and tomorrow. But I think he's getting closer, and I'm hopeful that he can play. If not tomorrow, then in game four. But, again, it's day-to-day.
And there was an exchange, I think, with Jordan Bell, I think at the end of the third quarter, where he committed that foul on LeBron, and he sort of lectured him a little bit on the bench, and then Jordan forced a steal. What's it like just having him around, just even though he wasn't playing, but still having some sort of influence with the guys?
It's another coach. He's literally another coach. He pulled us aside during game one, during a timeout, and made a suggestion, something defensively. And we did it, and it worked, and wasn't surprising. But Andre has that kind of a impact on our team. He's one of the smartest basketball minds I've ever been around.
Go ahead, Mark, second row.
Mark Schwartz, ESPN. Steve, after the game Sunday night, Draymond called Clay probably the toughest guy he's ever played with. And you don't normally think of Clay as Mr. Tough Guy. Why is it that we don't think of him that way, and what is it that Draymond was getting to about his toughness?
Just that he's there every single day. He's never missed a playoff game. He's only missed a handful of games in his entire career. Some of them were because I insisted on giving him a rest. But he finally missed some time this year with the wrist injury. Wrist, thumb, what was it?
Wrist,
yeah. But he's just there. He's like a machine every day of practice. unless he sleeps in and misses practice, which he's done a couple times. But he's just there. You count on him. You just count on him every day. And toughness is often looked at, I think, to answer your question. A lot of people think of toughness and they think bravado, but toughness is also a quiet confidence and a resilience. And I think Clay embodies that. He's there for us every night, doesn't say much, but we can count on him every day.
Tim in the back left.
Tip Calcom of The Athletic. Steve, you've got friends in the NFL. I don't know if you've heard from them. I've heard from them maybe pushing back on some of your comments about the anthem. Have you heard anything? And they point out that the NBA has a policy also where players must stand for the anthem, and I believe there's some understanding they can stay in the back. If one of your players wanted to actually protest on the anthem, would you be okay with that? Would you understand that?
Yeah, of course, because you have to understand that what players have protested is not the military. They're protesting police brutality and racial inequality. So if anybody, any American, wants to protest that any time, then that's their right as Americans. That's what the military fights for, is free speech. So I would be perfectly fine with any of our players doing so. I think the point I was trying to make a couple weeks ago is that the NBA has always been very, very much a partner with the union and with the players in this this issue. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we have gone through this together, and there haven't really been any issues in the NBA. Players are very socially active. Teams and management and the league itself are very supportive of not only a community service, of course, but political commentary. And so it's just a partnership, and that's the point I was making, comparing it to the NFL.
Jeff on the left side on the aisle.
Jeff Shudell, News Herald. Steve, the Cavaliers are saying they want to get a more physical with you guys tomorrow and Friday. I'm sure you've seen that before, but so how do you combat that?
Well, that's their advantage. You know, they're bigger and stronger. They've beaten us up on the boards a little bit. You have to combat that with smart play, boxing out, making sure you're putting a body on people. We can't leave, a guy one-on-one against Tristan Thompson trying to box him out. You got to get multiple bodies in there. And then we've got to be ready for their pressure defensively. We got to execute. We got to take care of the ball.
Monty over here and then Mark up front.
Monty Pulu, NBC Sports Bay Area. Steve, what do you remember last year with game four? I mean, you guys came in with a chance to actually sweep the postseason. What did you see from the Cavs and what did you see from your team in that game four?
I think they made like 24 threes. Is that right?
Something like that.
Something like that. They made a ton of threes. I think they shot maybe 28 free throws in the first half. I might be wrong on that. So they brought the force that game, and we fouled a lot, and we were not at our best. So we remember all that stuff. We got to be better.
Mark, last one here in the front.
Steve, Mark Medina, Bay Area News Group. Steve, how have you seen this season, the dynamic with Steph and Kevin play out in terms of knowing when it's best for one of them to get going or both?
There's just a sense that we're all on the same team and nobody cares about whose team it is and all that stuff. Our guys just play. And there have been games where KD has had to take over. There's been games where Steph takes over, and there's lots of games in between. We literally never have a conversation about who needs to take over. What we do is we decide where are we going to attack, how are we going to attack, and every team presents a different challenge, every opponent does, and so we try to find areas where we can attack and take advantage of matchups and give ourselves the best chance to score.
Now let's listen into some of what Steph said at today's practice session.
Scott Osler, San Francisco Chronicle. Steph, I'm going to ask your opinion, if you care to give it, on the Eagles situation and how you feel about being the team and kind of the guy that started that, for want of a better word, protest kind of deal, the White House.
Any team that wins a championship is going to be in that decision-making situation where you got to do what is in best interest of your team and kind of handle that accordingly, like we did last year, or I should say like the what we plan to do, having a meeting together to figure out what our decision was going to be, and obviously know what Trump did before we had an opportunity to do that, and kind of a similar situation here, but not surprising. It's unfortunate, but you know, we all have our opportunity, our right to kind of do what we want to do, and the Eagles, you know, follow in line with that.
Mark on the left side in the aisle.
Mark Spears is undefeated. Steph, following up on that, LeBron said he would expect that either team that won a championship would not want to go. Let's see if you agree with that. And also, all the black players from the Eagles decided before being uninvited that they did not want to go, and wanted to see what you thought about that as well.
I mean, I hope to be in that situation and win two more games where we win a championship and obviously know what comes with that. But I don't think I think I agree with Bron. Pretty sure the way we handled things last year kind of stayed consistent with that. But at the end of the day, like I said, every team has an opportunity to make a decision for themselves and speak for themselves, and I think that's powerful, you know, being in this situation.
Shelley, over here.
If, and I know it's a big if you get Andre back, what does he bring to your team that you're missing? Not that you're missing, but what does he bring?
No, I know what you mean. He's we talk about his versatility all the time. We talk about the ways that he can fill holes defensively and offensively for us, and especially against teams that we have such familiarity with. He's such a high IQ type of guy that he'll most likely find himself in the right place at the right time and help our rotation get back to what we're, you know, consistently used to. So, and just for him, just as a person to be healthy and be able to play in the finals now that we're here, I think that would mean a lot to him and give us an emotional boost as well. So I don't know what his status is, but I know he's said he's been feeling better and making progress, so that's good. But I don't know what other hurdles he has to clear to get back out there on the floor, so let him speak on that.
Tim, back left.
Steph, all the way in the back corner. Tim Reynolds with the AP. To go back to the anthem and the White House for a second, when you first came out and said last year that you weren't interested in going, did you expect, number one, that we'd still be talking about it, you know, a year later, and that the divide was seemingly going to widen between the White House and athletes in general? And secondly, did you ever think about maybe the unintended consequence of the White House is now almost using this as fuel in some regards, in that, like, for example, they came out today and said that the Eagles are the ones alienating their fans, that they're not. Did you have any idea it was going to turn into all this?
No, but I didn't really. I would say I did care because it's an important conversation, but you can't control what other people try to do or try to control the narrative or things like that. We've been really consistent about our messaging and understanding what, you know, why we did what we, why we decided, or I should say why I decided to, you know, speak out on us not, or me not wanting to go to the White House, you know, last year. And every team that's won a championship since then has gone through that. And like I said, it's hard for, you know, so many people want to chime in and how, I guess, social media is used, you know, today. The conversation can get out of control with so many different voices. And I know a guy from the Eagles, wide receiver, who played there on the championship or Super Bowl winning team last year, and he broke it down pretty verbatim of how his process went, you know, with, you know, his discussions with his teammates and how he wanted to keep the focus on what the conversation should be and not the anthem and not Trump's policies or how he's been, you know, overshadowing the NFL and all that type of stuff. So that's refreshing, knowing that he's educating people along the way, and I think that's important. If you focus on who's saying the right things, you shouldn't get lost in that, in the noise that's going on right now.
Mark in the front.
Steph,
Steph, Mark Medina, Bay Area News Group. This season, how have you seen the dynamic with you and Kevin play out in terms of knowing when it's best for you to get going and him to get going and vice versa?
I mean, every opportunity we get to play, you know, more minutes together, we start to figure out a better chemistry, and that's been the case since October 2017. So it's nice when we're both going and have – you know, the opportunity to play off of each other. You know, we both can be aggressive no matter if, you know, if I'm getting a shot or he's getting a shot or anybody else on the team's getting a shot. It's just we pick our spots offensively, try to find the right matchups, find the right flow, you know, make simple plays. You know, good things usually happen. And I think it's best when we're communicating with each other about what we see on the floor consistently. And we've been doing a lot of that as of late, encouraging each other, but also kind of pinpointing things that we see. And it's refreshing to hear that from his perspective, and I'm sure, you know, vice versa. So, you know, that helps. And I remember in the fourth quarter of game two, right when Cleveland called their first time out, he was the first one in my face, like, you know, pepping me up for kind of holding it down while he's on the bench, and vice versa. We want to see each other succeed, and got a good chemistry going.
Specifically this season, because there are so many, like, different overlapping injuries with yourself, and sometimes he was out of the lineup, to what degree did that play any complications at times?
Not much. I mean, I would say kind of the things that we bring the best out of each other when it comes to what our strengths are. When one guy's out, you miss that, but it's not hard to kind of, you know, ramp it back up once we're both out there on the floor. So ever since the game two of the Pelican series, we've, you know, built up that chemistry again, and it's been fun.
And standing on the left.
Ann Killian with the San Francisco Chronicle. Steph, when you walk into this building in June, what kind of memories hit you? And also, how do you feel like you've played here during the playoffs?
I mean, it feels like the finals. I mean, like I said, this is a road atmosphere in the finals. This is the only building I know, you know, what that experience is like. So, and we know how the atmosphere is here. We know how, you know, Cleveland plays here with a lot of energy and force. And I think, without down, going back to each game, I think I played solidly. Can obviously hopefully raise my level up this year coming in with the opportunity we have in front of us being up 2-0 again. So, you know, we understand how hard it is to win in this building. You know, no matter what's going on in the series, when you change venues, you got to reassert your dominance and try to find that right momentum to start. And we have a great opportunity, you know, tomorrow to do that. And I want to be, you know, a part of leading that charge and playing an amazing game tomorrow and really taking control of the series.
Last two, back right over here, and then Tim.
Steph, Connor Letourneau, San Francisco Chronicle. Given all the injuries you guys have had this season, how important has someone like Chelsea Lane been to help in terms of helping you guys get to this point?
She's been huge, and her whole team's been huge on, you know, just being there for us. We all have, you know, kind of unique injuries or things that we're dealing with, and every guy kind of copes with injuries differently. So from a mental aspect as well, you know, helping us through the recovery process and kind of giving us the game plan of how we can get back on the floor and be better than we were before we got injured. So, and even just maintenance work throughout the season for the healthy guys. You know, we play a lot of minutes, a lot of games, and so, you know, they're vital to our success. And she's been amazing, especially for me. Just thinking about all that I've been through this year with the ankle and the knee and all that type of stuff. Just keeping me sane as you're not on the court for a good amount of time. You got to keep the right perspective about your rehabilitation and understanding that, you know, big picture, you know, I can come back or I have and be the player that I want to be when it matters most.
What's she kind of like as a person, and how would you describe her overall approach to the job?
Very positive. She's got a great sense of humor about stuff, and I'd say topics of conversation in the training room go all over the place. She doesn't have like that huge basketball background. She's not really talking about much of that. It's just, you know, what we got to do today to get right. She's always kind of one step ahead, thinking about or trying to anticipate what your move might be like coming into the training room, no matter, you know, what you're going through. So she's fun. She's got a great staff that they all, you know, step up to the task and sacrifice for her. So we got a good thing going in there.
Tim, last one on the left.
Tim Calcomi, The Athletic, one last Anthem question. The NFL people have, yeah, I'm sure you're happy about that. NFL people have pointed out that the NBA does have a policy done a while ago to enforce that you must stand for the anthem. I guess there is some understanding you can stay in the back. Do you think that's worth discussing? Are you okay with this policy, or do you understand that this has been agreed to with the players and you don't need to open up that discussion again?
Honestly, I didn't know that rule. I would assume if somebody wanted to demonstrate or protest during the anthem, that there would be an opportunity to have that discussion and understand what the player wants, you know, to express in that moment, and that the league would support that player, you know, while they're doing it. I don't know if that's come up because nobody has knelt during the national anthem, but. I think from just overall, just thinking about how the league has supported players, and we've had that open dialogue. I'm happy to be playing in this league and know that we can speak on what we believe without, you know, people breathing down your neck, and that's a good environment to come to work in.
And finally, we listen in to Kevin Durant with the media here at Quicken Loans Arena.
Kevin, John Gonzalez from The Ringer. Steve and Steph and LeBron have all addressed the situation with the Eagles in the White House, and I was wondering what you thought about that. And also, they had said that no matter who wins this series, they probably don't want an invite anyway. I was wondering if you agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's about true. But what else you expect Trump to do? You know, when somebody says they don't want to come to the White House, he disinvites them, so that photo op don't look bad. We get it at this point, but, you know, it's good that guys are sticking to what they believe in and what they want to do. So, like God said before me, I'm sure whoever wins this series won't be going.
Alvaro in the back.
Alvaro Martini, ESPN. In game two, by the end of the first quarter, you had as many assist opportunities and you took advantage of them than you did in the whole almost game one. What was different from what Cleveland was doing, what your teammates were doing, what you were doing?
Just being patient, just taking what the defense gives you, just slowing down a bit. And I think defensively we focused in a little more, which always allows our offense to have a little bit more freedom when you're getting stops. You know, so just try to be patient as much as we could. Find things that were there, and but also play with some pace as well. If they make a shot or if we get a rebound, just try to, you know, play with some pace too. So we know it's going to be different coming into this building tomorrow. We just got to be even more on point.
Thank you. Mark here in the front.
Hey, Kevin. Mark Medina Barry and News Group. This season, how have you seen everything with you and Steph kind of play out in terms of knowing when it's time for you to get it going, or him, or both? Have you seen that play out through the course of the season?
I mean, 2 years together, two seasons together, I think we figured out a good balance. You know, I think being able to play off each other definitely helps, but not just us two, but everybody else on the court kind of plays off each other well. And we just try to do whatever it takes to get the W, you know, run the right plays, run them with force and with pace. And, you know, when you get your opportunities, be disciplined in your work and trust in your work, and, you know, that'll dictate the outcome. So just try to keep things as simple as possible.
you spend a lot of time, or not a lot of times, but sometimes when the offense is stagnant, you know, a lot of people talk about the ball not moving. What contributes to that overall, do you think?
Well, I think a lot of people lately have been talking about that because how we played in Houston, and Houston just did such a good job of switching everything. And basketball, when you switch everything, meaning pin downs, cross screens, just everything, it takes you out of your movement and your offense, and it puts the ball into the guys that can create off the dribble the most. So we had a lot of those opportunities because of the switch in defense. So I think that's the reason why, you know, things may look a bit, little bit bigger than what they really are, you know, as far as the ISO stuff is concerned. So but I thought we did a good job of navigating through it all and still playing our game and just showing that we can adapt to different situations.
Monty, over here.
Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. Kevin, you guys with the 2-0 lead, sometimes that can give you that sort of that natural, I guess you can say, instinct that you got a bit of a cushion to play with what you do. But obviously you try to fight that. What do you do to fight that going into game three? And what do you remember from game four last year when you guys lost here?
I don't really think about, you know, being up 2-0 because, you know, a series can turn so fast. It's a great position to be in. I don't want to take that for granted. Don't get me wrong, but the job is not done, and you can't relax or be comfortable when you're still trying to win this thing. So we know coming on a road is going to be tougher. You know, we just want to have our best, play our best brand of basketball, and play as hard as we can when we step out on the court.
And what do you recall from Game 4 last year, the game that you guys did not win, the only game you didn't win?
We didn't play well. They shot the ball extremely well, and we were step slow on everything. You know, so we can't be that way.
Mark in the second row.
Kevin, Mark Schwartz, ESPN. After the game Sunday, Draymond got up and said, "Clay's probably the toughest guy he's ever played with." You don't always think of Clay for his toughness, but other than the fact that he doesn't miss games, what is it you think Draymond was getting at talking about just how tough he is?
Well, he doesn't complain. He's low maintenance. He doesn't really care for the celebrity or the fame that comes with being an NBA player. He just works hard every day, comes to play defense hard, and he cares. You know, you see that. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't with Clay, but we know it's there all the time because it's so consistent every day. So somebody that just genuinely loves to play ball and wants to do it, you know, as best as he can, you know, because he knows his time is short, you know. So somebody who embraces every single day, that's toughness to me.
Any other questions for Kevin? Shelly, right here in the front. Two? Or one?
Just another guy with veteran experience that can do multiple things, that can pass, that can rebound, dribble, can shoot the ball. Just smart, just knows how to play the game of basketball, especially the Warrior way of playing basketball for us. You know, so he kind of settles us down a little bit. You look at Dre, and he's always, you know, when he has an even keel for the game, and, you know, somebody that's just always that's dependable. So we're looking forward to getting him back. Hopefully he's here soon. Don't know the significance of the injury, but just knowing that we miss him out on the court, and, you know, we want him back out there.
And you know he's hurt because he's not playing golf.
Yes. So he really is hurt. Right.
Michael, last question in the center.
Kevin, you asked about the drop off in Game 4, but what do you remember about Game 3? And just now that I know you've dismissed that game in some ways, but what did it mean just to be back in this building and knowing what Game 3 did for you in terms of how people see that shot?
They really didn't do anything for me, to be honest. We won a championship, but me personally, it was just so many other plays in that game to help us get that championship that was just as important. So that's how I approached the game, just knowing that everything that led up to the win, it happened the days before, it happened in practice, it happened in first quarter, second quarter, you know, so we just know how important every possession is, and you know, that situation may not happen again. So, you know, we just got to embrace whatever happens and look forward to a crazy, crazy environment with a team that's desperate, and, you know, those combinations are tough to stop. So, you know, we're looking forward to it, though. We got a great opportunity being up 2-0, and, you know, we can't wait to go out there and take advantage of it.
Warriors-Cavs, Game 3, Wednesday night here in Cleveland. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.